right now doing in what we've been doing like last week, the kind of going through, we covered the Jews up until the time of Napoleon Bonaparte at the end of the 18th century. Now we have to finish the Jews in the 19th and 20th century, which is really going to be very easy as far as Jerusalem is concerned. I don't want to bore anyone. I got a lot of several different ways that I can go right now as far as what we've covered. We've spent so much time. It'll be the only time, by the way, you don't get to vote on something in this church outside of business meetings. But we've done so much work with Jews in Jerusalem. Now, I can do the work, and I certainly don't mind, and probably, like, the more I think about it, I'm not even going to vote on it because it's something I want. And since I want it, I think we'll do it. But we've covered so much material, and I'm in the process, but it takes a long time, and I don't mind the time. But how many of you would like to have, and what I'm going to do is get with Sylvia when I do complete it. It won't be sitting here taking the notes. But what I want to do is spend a couple of Sundays taking just the dates, like we're doing with this, and just do it with Jerusalem. And just the hot, not go through anything. In other words, like 70 A.D., all we're going to say is Titus, you know, takes Jerusalem 70 A.D., and just go through their history so that you have on one piece of paper the entire history of Jerusalem. You want that? Good, we'll get it. So I'm working on that. I'm also, I moved a desk into my office, and boy, it's immediately covered with everything. But I'm also working on doing something else that I've always wanted. Now, we've gone through Rome to work with Jerusalem, and I'm also going to give you work on another sheet of paper that will just cover the history of Rome from its first emperor to the 4th or 5th century. And just the same thing, just nothing given. No one would really get much out of it unless you had a set of notes like you have from this class. But that way, when we do come to church history, and then just for your normal reading, and when maybe a TV show comes on or something, a historical movie or book or something, you can adjust and just pull it out and orient yourself to the whole segment, at least some idea of what's going on in that time. So those are the things I want to get accomplished, and then go back to Nehemiah and to the work, and I think we'll be ready to get back to the type of study of the Bible at that time. Well, let's finish up what we started last week and prepare ourselves right now by prayer. Heavenly Father, as we go through the years of each century and list the coming of men and men being born and dying and what they accomplish during their brief stay on earth, it is a reminder to us again that we have but one time here, that our life will soon be over, that we will soon die and leave this earth. But Heavenly Father, that we can have an impact, if not in time, in eternity. That reaching spiritual maturity in time puts us into the historical textbook that will last for eternity. This sin is our objective, our orientation to history. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, before we get to the Jerusalem in the 19th century, let's just take up a few more things of what we were studying last week. I think the last date I gave you was 1858, Elizabeth the First, dealing with the Elizabeth, Queen of Scots, and all of that type of thing. Is that Elizabeth, right, in the Elizabethan Bible? Mary Queen of Scots was 1559, and then I'm not going to fill in on everything after that. There's a lot that goes on in 1559 on between Mary Queen of Scots as she assumes the title of England, and what happens between her and Elizabeth and her execution and going into France and England and all of that. Most of you have seen the movie, if not read the book. And so you have some idea of that. There's so much I can't cover in this type of survey. I'm just giving you highlights, trivia things that are interesting. We're certainly not going to list all the kings of England and all of that. I'm trying to pull things that you can relate to. There are a lot of writings in what we'll cover tonight in the 17th century, 18th century. A man would pull out one and write one very important treatise on something. I probably won't mention that type of thing. There's a lot going on in the spiritual realm, religious realm. It's hard to give it a date. There are movements, there are developments that we'll study in church history, denominations, Lutheranism, the Presbyterianism of England is going to result out of Cromwell's great battle. So many things are just development things that we'll cover when we come to church history and spend specific time on those things that involve Christianity and that touch Christianity directly in church history. All right, 1559, Mary Queen of Scots assumes the title Queen of England. 1560. 1560 is the beginning of Puritanism in England. 1560 is the beginning of Puritanism in England. It will really have an impact through about for about 100 years, 1660. You know, even when we cover church history, it's going to be hard to put all this in perspective, but if you study the impact of Puritanism and then what happens after Puritanism, you see why a lot of times I'll keep pounding away. We don't want to force our theology on everyone else, abortion, prayer in school, all these kinds of things, because the backlash is unbelievable. And after 1660, just prior to that, what happened, the reason we give you that date, a lot of reasons, but about 1640, I'll show you, they closed down all theaters in England. They reached a point where it was total absurdity, and then the whole secular world just reacted to the whole concept. There are some good things about Puritanism, not many, but there are some good things. And but they were so fanatical that the backlash is unbelievable. So a lot of these types of things I'm not going to be able to deal with because I'm not studying movements. I'm just giving you a touch of what's going on. And right now we're in the 16th century. But 1560, approximately at the beginning of Puritanism in England, you don't know, Puritanism is very legalistic. 1560, you start the period of the persecution of Huguenots, French Christians, Protestants, French Protestants, Huguenots, Huguenots. I used to speak two or three years in a row to the Texas meeting of Huguenots, and I spoke to them in Dallas and Fort Worth, and I made the Roman Catholics that did belong to the Huguenot Society so upset with me that they led not to, I wouldn't speak there anymore. I mean, history's history, and I didn't smile when I said how the Catholics were horrible, and I just gave them the facts. But they want to have that heritage, but they don't like to give up. They don't want to give up their Catholic heritage either and admit what facts are of history. 1560 also starts the Counter-Reformation. You have a beginning of the Counter-Reformation. So 1560 is a lot of religious, putting all these things in one category, spiritual, religious, Christian things happening as far as Western civilization is concerned. So you have the beginning of Puritanism, the persecution of the Huguenots, all Huguenots in France, and the Counter-Reformation begins throughout Europe. All right, then we have 1561. Mary Queen of Scots is denied passage through England after she returns from France. Scotland and England are really at arms. Also 1561, Francis Bacon, very important English philosopher, is born. He will die in 1626. Now, he wrote a lot of things, did a lot of things. We're not studying Francis Bacon, so if you know his history or if you're so inclined when I give you names like this. That is fine. If you have any kind of encyclopedias or anything, it is fun to just read through and pick up why some of these names are the ones that are pulled out. So he did a lot of writing and very important things, and that's his time period. Also, 1561, the modern technique of chess playing is developed in Spain. The modern chess game is developed in Spain. Also, in 1561, we have the beginning of the forerunning of hand grenades being made, and in a very short time will be common part of military training. But this is the beginning of the forerunning of hand grenades. 1563, over 20,000 people would die in London alone because of a plague that came through. And I mentioned that just again to a lot of reasons. One, the appreciation of modern medicine that we are fastly destroying. And also, people talk about how many people can be killed with a bomb and all of this. Well, in 1563, over 20,000 people died in London alone because of a plague. 1564, very, very famous man, one of the most phenomenal men of literature, William Shakespeare, is born. William Shakespeare is born in 1564. He will die in 1616. Throughout, you'll have, particularly right around 1600, you'll have the maturity of Shakespeare's writings. A lot of things have already been written and a few things, but if you just think around 1600, you can remember Shakespeare's time period. And immediately, see, all the way through, you'll have compilations of Shakespeare's work, the first compilation, second compilation, and first publication, second. I'm not going to give you all that. But people argue of did he write and all of this, but most things can be pretty well verified today. Also, 1564, John Calvin died, Michelangelo died, and to take the place of these two great men, of course, William Shakespeare is born this year, and then the great scientist Galileo is born. I hope you're sensing how many really important people to history are born in the 16th century. That really changes everything. 15th to 1600s, things just change. The printing press, medicine and science, theology, all these things are just theater. It'll take music a little while. I'm not giving you too much of the development of music. It'll take music a little while to really come in, but operas are beginning to come into play, and these types of things are beginning to take shape, and the instruments as we know them today are beginning to be put together into orchestras and the symphonies and in the groups. Okay, that's 1564. Shakespeare is born, Galileo is born, Calvin dies, and Michelangelo dies. 1565, as far as the medical field is concerned, the dissection of the human body is granted, is given authority by the state of various countries around Europe. So there is the beginning of the dissection of the human body for medical purposes. 1566. This is a date that historians give for the first newspaper. You know, that type of thing's hard because you might, what is a newspaper? There might have been a little newsletter put out from other city, but 1566, the first newspaper, and it appeared in Venice. Let's see, 1567, Mary Queen of Scots marries Bothwell. 1567, Mary Queen of Scots marries Bothwell. Also in this time period, in the late 16th century, you have the travels of Sir Francis Drake. I'm not going to list them all. We'll do that later, but just so you'd be able to orient. Also, discoveries and things are a phenomenal time period. It's a great period of history. also, this year, 1567, over 2 million Indians die in South America because of typhoid fever. Over 2 million Indians are wiped out. 1568, study begins on the anatomy of the human brain. Study begins on the anatomy of the human brain. Here's one that a few of you will be interested in for trivia. Bottled beer is invented in London. So bottled beer is invented in London in this year. I don't know if there's any correlation between the anatomy of the brain and bottled beer in the same year, but they both occurred. 1570, as we close out the 16th century, Calvinism has a strong following of people. Lutheranism has become a denomination of Protestantism. These are very clearly defined. Zwinglism, in other words, Protestants after the Reformation are joining together in little forces and little groups to what they believe and who they follow. And these are the men that they have picked, and these the teachings of these men they have picked to follow. Also, in 1570, we have the earliest known musical festival. The earliest known musical festival was given in Normandy. Also, you know from our study with the Jews, the Turks are rising in power by this time. 1572, very important massacre in Paris. This is the massacre of Saint Bartholomew. The massacre on Saint Bartholomew's Saint Bartholomew's Day massacre in Paris. I did an in-depth study of this to speak to the Huguenots, whatever, and 2,000 of them were massacred by the Roman Catholic Church, Roman Catholic leaders at that time. They disarmed, by the way, to go to a feast. And when they disarmed and went in and were promised safety and security, they were massacred. Also, for those of you that are interested in such things, a very important English preacher and poet is born in 1572, John Donne, D-O-N-N-E. In fact, Taylor's right now has his love poems. And he's a preacher, and he writes some very erotic type poetry, but you have to be able to understand it. And he's very difficult in a lot of his poems to understand. It's not some that you can just pick up and flow through, though he does have some in his book. But I have it, and I've been going through it for about the last 3 months, just trying to dissect and understand some of them. But anyway, John Donne is born, and he will die in 1631. He'll not only write love poems, but after he becomes a preacher, he does all his love making and all of that before, then he will become a preacher and do some fascinating writing and preaching. 1573, Sir Francis Drake sees the Pacific Ocean. Sir Francis Drake sees the Pacific Ocean. 1576, decimal fractions are introduced into math. Decimal, D-E-C-I, decimal fractions are introduced into math. 1579, Francis Drake proclaims the sovereignty of England over California. Sir Francis Drake proclaims the sovereignty of England over California. England said they didn't want it. No, that isn't true. All right, 1584, and here's another area I'm not going to give a lot of facts on, just the highlights, and that deals with our own history. Sir Walter Raleigh discovers Virginia. Sir Walter Raleigh discovers Virginia in America. 1587, Mary Queen of Scots is executed. 1587, Mary Queen of Scots is executed. I love movies and books about people's lives, real people's lives. It's fascinating. And if you, before you read a book or go to a movie, like when I went to see Mozart's movie, try to get a feel of everything around, and it helps you appreciate the man or the woman in history or the event. 1589. Here's one for all of us at a certain point in our life of learning etiquette. Forks are used for the first time. Forks are used for the first time. 1595, the first appearance of heels on shoes. 1596, as we close out the 16th century, Galileo invents the thermometer. Galileo invents the thermometer at the end of the 16th century. In dealing with America and what type of people came here. By Act of Parliament, there were prescribed sentences of criminals to be transported to the colonies in America and throughout the Caribbean. So by an act of English Parliament, prescribed sentences of transportation to the colonies of convicted criminals, 1597. 1599, another man's name that you ought to know, Oliver Cromwell, English general, statesman is born. He will die in 1658 and will really change things for a while during his brief time in history. His is related, as we'll see, with the Roundheads and the revolts and the civil revolution in England and all. Now we come to 1600s. Sometimes just go back over your list and look at the people that were born in the 16th century, and it will fascinate you. All right, 1600. Now, what I want to do here is just write these things down, because all these things are going on, and I didn't deal with the dates and the people and all that. Postal systems are being developed throughout Europe, between countries and within countries. So you have by the turn of the century, high development of postal systems. Banking is becoming very intricate throughout Europe as we change the time period now. Astrology. Astrology is really taking on an interest. 777 fixed stars are identified by 1600. Navigation by the stars and all over the world. Navigation is in a great flourish right now. Medicine studies in all branches of the herbs, the drugs, the body, the brain, the heart, the blood, everything. I mean, just so much is going on in all of these areas. Trade and travel is just unbelievable. From China, all up from the New World, tea is being brought to England, tobacco, potatoes in Germany for the first time. All of these things are happening in the world. There's just so much going on. I really don't have all that much time to worry about Jerusalem. All right, 1607. See, we have time to worry about Jerusalem from 6 to 7 here on Sunday. 1607, the founding of Jamestown, Virginia, the first English settlement. 1608, another very famous writer of history, John Milton. John Milton, the English poet, is born, 1674. Now, okay, John Milton's born now, but he's going to be a part of the strong Puritan age. Now, if you like reading, you read John Milton, and you read his discourse on divorce and all these types of things where he tries to handle the Bible and what he has experienced, divorce, and what the Puritans did to him because he divorced, you'll understand his discourse on divorce. Some of his writings are unbelievable writings. They're excellent. Paradise Lost is just one part of the genius of this man. But when you read him, remember his era. Remember everything that's going on with John Milton and what he's fighting, all of his Puritan stuff, and yet having to handle with the divorce himself. So it's fascinating reading what these people wrote and what's going on in their time. And this is true of any man and that's going to deal in theology or in the spiritual realm. I mean, it's no accident, you know, like Faith Rest from Bob, that's any era. It's unfortunate that things like that were not taken care of, Rebound, but war, moral or immoral, this is something that America had to have, right man, right woman. Our society was ready for it. These types of things and doctrines that Bob has expounded. And I talked about several times, and, you know, who knows what we're going to have to deal with in the 21st century. These things may not be all that great of an issue. So what we have to do and what I have to do is just continually study so that whatever is demanded in the 21st century, you and I are ready for it, and God the Holy Spirit can give me the ability to teach it from His Word. But those kinds of things happen as the time period. 1610, Bill Stevens will enjoy this one. The Dutch East India Company, which you might remember hearing from school days, introduced the term share. And this becomes a very intricate part of the banking and of finance as time develops. 1612, the last recorded burning of heretics in England. Well, we're happy for that. The last burning of heretics, because I guarantee you a lot of our forefathers and probably ourselves would be burned. But the last burning of heretics in England. And I want you to know with 1612 and the strength and the influence of religion and these types of things, and it's never stopped right up to today. Big issue today. Asking political campaign of presidential candidates, are you a believer? When were you a believer? What do you think about prayer? All these types of things. So you're not going to get away from the importance of that. 1614, the greater development of the study of metabolism, since we've had that word, and Bob's using it so much now in teaching. 1614, the beginning of the strong study of metabolism and also perspiration, what all of that means to the body. Also, for those romanticists in our church, 1614 is the time of the great story of the North American Indian princess Pocahontas and her marriage to John Walsh. And they had quite a few descendants of notoriety that would descend from them, but this is the time period, 1614, Pocahontas, an Indian princess, marries John Walsh. 1615, Galileo faces Inquisition for his scientific findings. And he is forced to stop work by the Roman Catholic Church. He is forbidden to pursue his study of science. 1616, I've already told you, Shakespeare dies. 1618, if you were at the conference last January, Bob read the opening two lines of a poem by Richard Lovelace. Richard Lovelace was born in 1618, an English poet. He will die in 1658. Sir Walter Raleigh is executed in England, 1618. Sir Walter Raleigh is executed in England. All right, 1619. We have the first. Let me just give you a lot of things that are going on in 1619 around this time. 1619, first representative colonial assembly in America is held at Jamestown, Virginia. very important man. If you do any type of reading in economics, economic philosophy, freedom, that type of thing, government, is a man named Jean, J-E-A-N, Baptiste, B-A-P-T-I-S-T-E, Colbert, C-O-L-B-E-R-T. Jean Baptiste Colbert, he is a French economist, a French statesman. He was born in 1619. He will die in 1683. Very influential in French history. Very influential. Very interesting man to read. And I think you have the doctrine to handle his philosophy where he's wrong. Also, 1619, discovery of the circulation of blood. Discovery of the circulation of blood. Medicine's advancing now. William Harvey, H-A-R-V-E-Y of London. Rita, you related to William Harvey of London? All right. Also, 1619, the first Negro slaves arrive in Virginia, transported by the authority of the Roman Catholic Church. William Bradford, all of this 1619. William Bradford, governor of Plymouth Colony. This is the time of the development of weekly newspapers. The development of weekly newspapers. Because there's so much going on. It's just interesting how everything happens, you know. So much is going on. People want to know about it. The printing press has been invented. So somebody keeps asking questions. So probably some guy with a printing press starts putting out a little news thing pretty soon. You can just see how it would develop. Also, a handwriting analysis starts picking up at this time. A lot of personal things are going on. 1623, this is the beginning time of Rembrandt. And from here on, year by year, you'll have the paintings of the famous Rembrandt painting. 1623, he is beginning to be recognized as a painter. 1624, another very important man in economic philosophy and a philosophy of freedom and of man is Cardinal, C-A-R-D-I-N-A-L, Richelieu. All right, R-I-C-H, R-I-C-H-E-L-I-E-U. R-I-C-H-E-L-I-E-U. I have books by all these men and have read books that I have and then a couple that I don't have. But they're just fascinating as far as the development of economics, of freedom, capitalism, all these terms, all these things. Also, 1624, here's one for you. The term gas is first used. The term gas is coined for compressible fluid. For compressible fluid. By Helmont, H-E-L-M-O-N-T, John Helmont. 1626, dueling is forbidden in France. Dueling is forbidden in France. Also in 1626, some Indians got a good deal. They sold Manhattan for $24. 1626, Manhattan is purchased from the Indians for $24. The Indians are still mad about that deal. All right, 1628, a fun name of history is born, John Bunyan. John Bunyan, the English author, is born. He will die in 1688. 1629, brackets are first used in math. Brackets are first used in math. This is done by Dutch mathematicians. Also, 1629, the colony of Massachusetts is founded. 1630, a lot's going on. John Winthrop, W-I-N-T-H-R-O-P, an English Puritan leader, is having his leadership. He arrived in Massachusetts and found Boston. John Winthrop. The English Puritan founds Boston, becomes the first governor. Also in Europe, there's another very famous and important name, Adolphus. Gustavus Adolphus. G-U-S-T-A-D-I-U-S. Adolphus. A-D-O-L-P-H-U-S. He is Adolphus led an army from Sweden into Germany and tried to conquer Germany. Also, 1630, something that affects every day of our lives. This is the beginning of public advertising. This is the beginning of public advertising. It took place in Paris. Also, 1631, the symbol X is used for multiplication. This is by an English mathematician. I have his name, but it's long and it's important. All right, 1632. The colony of Maryland is founded. The colony of Maryland is founded. Another famous man of history, born at this time. A lot of philosophers who are known in this period. John Locke, L-O-C-K-E. John Locke, an English philosopher, again dealing with freedom, economics, politics, all of this, is born. He will die in 1704. The book that I've read, and that if you're interested in this kind of reading, all these men, how they were thinking at the time, his one of his most important writings is The Two Treaties of Government. The Two Treatises of Government, T-R-E-A-T-I-S-E-S, of Government. Very, very important reading. All of these people influenced the Declaration of Independence in our country. 1633, Galileo is forced by religion. Galileo is forced by religion to renounce his theory that the earth rotates daily on its axis and that the planets revolve in orbit around the sun. This is all called Copernicus, C-O-P-E-R-N-I-C-U-S. So Galileo is forced by religion to renounce his theory. The earth rotates daily on its axis, and the planets revolve in orbit around the sun. Brilliant man. And forced to abandon that. So this is all this type of thing. We're dealing with schools today of evolution and all this type of thing. Whether we believe or do not believe in these things, you cannot come down and try to enforce this type of thing and stop the mind of man. And you're just not going to do that. And as man's mind wants to believe evolution, there's nothing you and I can do about it. And the evolutionary argument is much different than the scientific arguments that Galileo was dealing with, because we're dealing in the evolutionary discussion with the soul of man. In the evolutionary discussion, we're dealing with the creation of man and whether or not we have a soul that is not related to the laws of physics and is it immaterial. So evolution takes us to a whole other battle. But all of this other type of thing, people get all in these arguments about when did the earth come into existence. Well, there's no way of knowing, because there is a freeze on the earth after Genesis 1 and between Genesis 1 and 2. So I'm not worried when they say 5 trillion years. I mean, who cares? You know, let them say 5 trillion, 5 billion, 5 million, 5,000. I really don't care. And then they talk about how long man has been here. Here again, I'm not even going to get involved in it, theologically or any other way, because what we set aside, though, is the fact that as far as human history is concerned, we go back to about the 5th millennium B.C. So they can't go back further than that on any kind. You know, they find a skeleton, and I'm not going to go through all that tonight, but they find it, and they say it's 5 billion years old. For what? See? That doesn't hurt us at all. Christians at school get all upset. They, no matter what they say, they still can't go back any further as far as any kind of development of man beyond about the 5th millennium B.C. So, they talk about 5 million years and all this kind of thing. It's almost humorous, because if man was here that long ago, it sure took him a long time to show any sign that he was around. But let them have their fun. But this is the horribleness of religion and the power of religion and how horrible it can become. 1634, the Green Bay Packers were... No, it's Green Bay. Green Bay was founded, 1634. 1635, colonization of Connecticut. Colonization of Connecticut begins. Now, here's a fun one. The oldest secondary school in North America, founded in 1635, and you know what its name was? England High. England High, the first, the oldest secondary school in North America, founded in Boston in 1635. Here's one for humor. The first speed limit the first speed limit on coaches, horse-drawn coaches in London, and it's 3 miles an hour. Also, in 1635, the sale of tobacco in France by doctor's prescription only. The first sale of tobacco in France by a doctor's prescription only. All right, 1636, the Puritan, 1636, the Puritan Roger Williams, banished from Massachusetts, establishes the Providence of Rhode Island, and as you should remember, proclaimed complete or total religious freedom. So the Puritan Roger Williams is banished from Massachusetts and establishes the Providence of Rhode Island and proclaims complete religious freedom. Also in 1636, for your interest, Harvard College was founded in Cambridge, Massachusetts. 1637, this is the only tie that I'll give you, not the only, but rare one that I'll give you. Christianity is totally forbidden in Japan. Christianity is totally forbidden in Japan, and all foreign books are banned in Japan. First public opera house opens, and it opens in Venice. The first public opera house opens. Now, this is going to be some of the backlash of the Counter-Reformation and everything. There is a great attack, and we'll get into this in more detail. There's a great attack on Protestant theology in the Counter-Reformation now. All over Europe, there's a great attack on Protestant theology, and the attack goes something like this, that Protestantism is a safe and easy way to salvation. And that's the attack, and that's true. But you can see if you're a Roman Catholic, or, well, primarily Roman Catholic, where you have to do all of these things, and you have to submit, and you have to have the rituals, and all of this, and then someone comes along and says, hey, all you got to do is believe in Christ and you're saved, then you have a great movement against Protestantism, a counter-reformation attack by the Roman Catholic Church, attacking the Protestant theology as a safe and easy way to salvation, and that is meant in a negative and a slanderous manner. Just a lot of that still goes on today against Protestantism and fundamentalism that you and I belong to. In fact, in our group, it even goes further, dealing with rebound and so many other things. Torture is abolished in England in 1638. Torture is abolished in England in 1638. 1639, the colony of Maine is chartered. Colony of Maine is chartered. Also 1639, which is important for some of the pamphlets that will be printed, the first printing press arrives in North America. 1639, the first printing press arrives in North America at Cambridge. That's one of those kind of things that you have to remember.
All future history. 1640, for a lot of us that enjoy food, the first European cafe opened. The first European cafe opened, and it opened in Venice. So the first newspaper, first open public opera house, and the first cafe. All these things are in Venice. 1641, something that started that still is going on, the massacre between Protestants and Catholics in Ireland. So what else is new in history? The massacre between Protestants and Catholics in Ireland. By the way, also in 1641, arsenic is first used for medical purposes. First time that arsenic is used for medical purposes. 1642, all theaters in England are closed. All theaters in England are closed by order of the Puritans. And as I told you, this will last to about 1660. Also 1642, another famous man is born, Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton, I-S-A-A-C-N-E-W-T-O-N, the English mathematician and philosopher. Isaac Newton is born. He will die in 1727. 1643, you want to remember this date, the middle of the 17th century, English Civil War. Oliver Cromwell, the Roundheads, and the Loyalists. All of these people are going to be in battle, and all the things that will happen with Cromwell, the Roundheads, and England, the House of Commons, all of these things. Also, 1643, the barometer is invented. The barometer is invented. 1644, a famous man in our history is born, William Penn of Pennsylvania. William Penn is born. He'll die in 1718. 1646, English Civil War ends. English Civil War ends with religious reforms. Presbyterianism is on the rise. 1649, a very strong declaration by the Maryland Assembly that the Assembly of Maryland believes in the Trinity of God. Another one of those things that's very interesting and important in history, in 1649, and if you just remember mid-17th century, English becomes the official language instead of Latin. On documents and declarations and things, English becomes the official language and Latin is beginning to die out. 1650, beginning of modern harmony in music, and also the development in music of modulation. Also, as far as music is concerned, around the mid-17th century, the overture as a musical form emerges. So things are happening in the musical area. Leather is used for the making of furniture in the middle of the 17th century. Now, here's something, just one of those trivia facts. The world estimate population. The world population in the mid-17th century was 500 million. 1950, it was 2.4 billion. So the middle of the 17th century, 500 million, and by 1950, in other words, the mid of the 20th century, 2.4 billion. Also in 1650, all of you have heard of the Quakers. All right, what does it mean and where does it get its name? Very simple. A man named George Fox, by the way, who's the leader of the Quakers, George Fox made the statement, "I bid them tremble. I bid them tremble at the word of the Lord." And so the development of Quakers for his followers in the study of the word. And you know, it's people like that that they have a lot of good things to contribute, and of course some things that are not so good. 1652, the air pump is invented in Germany. 1655, Cromwell readmits Jews to England. 1655, Oliver Cromwell readmits Jews into England. 1658, the first observance of red corpuscles. 1663, Danish doctors discover and proclaim the fact that the heart is a muscle. So you can see how medicine is beginning to change and advance. Here's something fun for, I guess, someone. 1665, our good friend Newton invents differential calculus. Differential calculus invented by Newton. Don't ever walk up. I bet no one ever walked up to Newton and said, "What's new?" "What's new, Newton?" "Well, sit down and I'll show you my calculus problem I'm working on." 1667, another famous man is born, Jonathan Swift. Jonathan Swift, English author, is born. He will die in 1745. Well, we have 10 minutes left. Let's stop that for a moment, and let's take a look at the 19th century in Jerusalem, so that we at least justify the meeting. All right. Jerusalem in the 19th century. Jerusalem in the 19th century. One. So this is the 1800s. Remember where we left off last week with Napoleon Bonaparte traveling through late 1799. Wanted to bring the Jews together to join him to fight for their freedom. They said no. So that's it. All right. One. It will not be until the 19th century that order will be brought back to Jerusalem. We've had about 400 years where it really just was nothing but a desolate land. I read you quotes, told you a few things that had happened. So it will not be until the 19th century that order will be brought back to Jerusalem. Point two. Under Egyptian governors, the city of Jerusalem is brought to new order between 1832 and 1840. I'm going to give you the names in dealing with this occurrence of the city of Jerusalem. The Egyptian governor, Muhammad Ali, and you'll get this as a Muslim pickoff of Abraham. Ibrahim, I-B-R-A-H-I-M. Ibrahim Pasha, P-A-S-H-A. So these two Egyptian governors, Muhammad Ali and Ibrahim Pasha, the city of Jerusalem is brought to new order, 1832 to 1840. Three. Restored security will make it possible for Christians to come to Jerusalem once again, renovate their churches outside the city walls as well as inside the city walls. This is the beginning of modern Jerusalem. So the restoring of security in Jerusalem in the middle of the 19th century will make it possible for Christians to start returning to Jerusalem, start rebuilding their churches inside the city walls and outside the city walls. Four, Jewish communities were allowed to develop. Jewish communities were also allowed to develop. Jews from all over the world began to work their way back to Jerusalem and Palestine. Jews from all over the world will begin to work their way back to Jerusalem and Palestine. And if you recall from our study on Wednesday night, this is not Zionism, but this is just the Jews having that emotional and historical attachment, and they are allowed now, order is there, so they can start making their way back to Jerusalem. Five, by the time of the beginning of the 19th century, there were only some, get this, 6,000 inhabitants in the city of Jerusalem. Under 200,000 in all of Palestine. So that gives you an idea of just how barren and desolate the land was. Only some 6,000 inhabitants as we go into the 1800s in Jerusalem, and only 200,000 in all of Palestine. Six, as the Jews started returning, they did not want to settle outside of the city because of the lack of security. There was no safety outside of the city. They'd be robbed, mugged, raped, killed, all these things outside of the city walls. In 1865, all of this begins to change. Now we're getting into something you want to remember. The first Jewish suburb outside the walls of Jerusalem is founded. We're talking about modern historical Jerusalem. Modern Jerusalem, 1865, you have the development of the first Jewish suburb outside the walls is founded. By 1868, two more were founded. I have their names, and they're still there, but they're Jewish names, in parentheses, Sha'anim, S-H-A-A-N-A-N-I-M. That's the first one. And then the second one, that was founded in 1868, is Mahanah, M-A-H-A-N-E-H, Israel. And the second one in the year of 1868 is Shiva, S-H-I-V-A. 7. In this period, the population of Jerusalem reached 18,000. See, it started out in the beginning of the 1800s, the beginning of the 19th century, with 6,000. By toward the three-quarter mark of that same century, they've reached 18,000 in Jerusalem alone. Half of that number is approximated to be Jews. About half the number are Jews. 1871, another Jewish suburb is built outside of the city of Jerusalem, and that is Sharim, Maria Sharim, M-E-A-H, M-E-A-H, and then Sharim, S-H-E-A-R-I-M. 9, Jewish population continues to grow steadily. Jewish population continued to grow steadily in Palestine and Jerusalem until the outbreak of World War I. During this period, many Jews were expelled from the city. Many of the Jews were expelled from the city. Many had to run. Some were recruited into the army. 10. Now, I'm not telling you much about the city because it hasn't changed much inside. As I told you, the crusaders could come back and much of old Jerusalem would look just like Jerusalem. All right, point 10. When the British took the city of Jerusalem, when the British take the city of Jerusalem, in December of 1917, there were more than 30,000 Jews in Jerusalem. There were more than 30,000 Jews in Jerusalem out of a population of 60,000. So you can see how the 19th century was for population growth in the city of Jerusalem itself. Okay, that's where we'll stop here, and then we'll take the 20th century, finish up our survey of history. All right, let's close in a word of prayer and prepare ourselves for Galatians and communion. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, it is our turn on the page of history. It is our turn, Heavenly Father, to make up our minds what we will do with Jesus Christ in Bible doctrine. So brief a period of time. People 200 years from now will read through the 20th century, the 21st century, in a matter of moments. So, Heavenly Father, it is up to us individually to make up our minds about Jesus Christ, Bible doctrine, the influence of your word in our homes, in our work, in our social life, whether or not doctrine is first. To this end, Heavenly Father, we are encouraged by the study of history. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.